Hello and welcome to another in a special series of interview podcasts that we recorded at the Quail Hollow event at Pebble Beach Car Week a few weeks ago. Now, it won't have escaped your attention that DeLorean is making a comeback, and it's a name that still carries so much weight in the car industry, despite the fact that they only ever made one car, the DMC 12, all that time ago. But DeLorean is being reinvented, and it's coming back as, surprise, surprise, an electric car, but a 2+2 electric car called the Alpha 5. It's still got the gold-wing doors, but it's not got the stainless steel bodywork, which is a shame. Anyway, we have many, many questions for this reborn brand, still one of the most iconic names in movie history, forever associated with Back to the Future. So we managed to corner Joost de Vries, the CEO of the new DeLorean Motor Company, to ask him a few questions. Here he is. Enjoy the pod. Okay, so welcome to the Top Gear Magazine podcast. I'm here with Joost de Vries. I think I've got the pronunciation right.
You did perfect. Thank you for having us.
We just had a practice before we came on. And the CEO of the DeLorean Motor Company, thank you for having me here to the DeLorean house. So we're not actually at Quail or one of the things. You've got your own venue, if you like, for launching the car, which is pretty cool. Before we get into all that, though, Joost, why don't you tell us a bit about you and your career and what's led you up to this point of launching this new reborn DeLorean?
All right. Well, good question. First of all, thank you for having us. A big fan. So even in the US, we know you well. My background is, I think I started automotive when I was 14, when my mom told me I needed to earn my own pocket money. So I started changing clutches on Class A trucks. 25 years AB Volvo over 13 different countries. And then after that, I went to Tesla at the end of Roadster, the beginning of Model S. So I spent a lot of time in England looking at all the barns with the unsold Roadsters.
Yeah.
And then I moved over to Karma Automotive. And then from Karma, I went over to DeLorean.
Oh, wow. So how long have you been there?
Well, with full-time DeLorean is a little over a year now.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. So really, you've been immersed in the electric plug-in hybrid with the Karma, but you know, and DeLorean is now being reborn as a pure electric car company, so you know that's where the experience
comes in handy. Yes, I think I built my first electric bus in China in 2008.
Yeah, I love the fact that to earn some pocket money you changed clutches on a car. I used to just give my mum's car a bit of a wash and she'd give me enough money to go and buy some sweets, but you were there getting your hands dirty and changing clutches, which is a bit more advanced. Okay, so then perhaps a bit of a backstory about the company, the DeLorean Motor Company, as it is today. So a lot of people will, you know it, obviously, from the Back to the Future references from the classic DeLorean. I suppose that's how you refer to it today. But then obviously Stephen Wynn bought the rights to the company. And just take us through a bit about how that happened and how we got here.
Yeah, I think when the DeLorean Motor Company in 83 folded, there were very few people in the world that were willing to pick up the aftermarket. And Stephen and a couple of his buddies, they actually made it work. And in 1995, Stephen and a group of investors purchased all the assets, the IP, the rights, and whatever was left out of bankruptcy, moved everything to Texas. And he's been amazing to protect the brand, rebuild the DMC 12 support, modify it, find new suppliers. And they've opened new dealerships. And it's been amazing. I mean, there's more than 6,000 cars out of the 9,000 still on the road today.
Wow.
So he's been an absolute brand ambassador. I think about 20 years ago, him and his sons, who was very active in the business too, they started to migrate DeLorean more to online, so Microsoft, Nintendo, EA games. Yeah. And the brand has been very active, just not building cars.
Yeah. Well, it is, you know, probably one of the most, for numbers of cars built, certainly number of models ever built versus the fame and of your company. It's got to be right up there with anything else. So right, the car you're reinventing, if you like, is one of the most iconic cars ever made, certainly the most famous movie car ever made. Do you feel that pressure? Do you feel that weight on your shoulders of like, holy, you know, everyone's looking at us now?
It's been, and the biggest challenge has been, what are we going to do? So there were two roads to take. Either we're going to do a retro style DMC 12, slap electric rotors in it and make it look cool, and that was it. Or you do it the difficult way and you reimagine how this company would have evolved over the last 40 years. Mm-hmm. And we took the difficult way. So when we came here, and you'll see it later, is we recreated a legacy as if the company never left. So we have a 1990 DeLorean, we have a 2000 DeLorean, we have a 2010 DeLorean, and we're launching Alpha 5 mm-hmm. after we made Alpha 2, 3, and 4. Mm-hmm. And I think that was much more difficult.
But you're not going to make 2, 3, and 4, right?
Are you be surprised?
Okay.
I think Alpha 2 is we have so many requests for that to be made, so we'll probably do a very small run.
And just walk me through, do you know off the top of your
head,
what's 2, what's 3, what's 4?
Alpha 2 was born out of a DeLorean project mm-hmm. called the DMC-24 mm-hmm. that was never in production. And it is a Barchetta, they call it. It's like an open-top coupe, V8-powered. And it was the logical evolution to the DMC-12. Then in 2006... we launched as DeLorean a four-door electric sedan really early with gullwing doors in the back, which was absolutely crazy. We packaged the whole car. The engineering is done. Mm-hmm. And then in 2013, we launched our hydrogen-powered SUV mm-hmm. because hydrogen was starting to get there. And then that was the Alpha 4. And then the Alpha 5 is the car we're launching now.
And I must say, so just for anyone that didn't see the release that you put out, so this is you telling kind of a backstory to the company that didn't happen, but filling in those gaps. So, you know, just to leap from DMC to Alpha 5, it's a big jump. Why does it look like this? Where's it gone? And how much of those cars, those theoretical cars you've just gone through there, was influenced by what Etal Design had already penned?
I think the DMC 12 and 24 were Giugiaro's designs, and the Alpha 1, as we call the DMC 12, what the Alpha 2 is purely a reinterpretation. And what we did, we went to Etal Design with every concept car of that decade, all the pop culture, all the art, all the details around it. We built a design studio in Italy of the 90s with the tools of the 90s. And we told Etal Design to design a car of the 90s with all the effects and tools of the 90s. And we built another one for the 2000s.
Do you mean literally the pens and the
everything
and the sketchboards?
Blue papers with white lines. I mean, we really went back to the tools of the era. It was cool. It was epic. So we have another company that's making a mini series now about how we brought that company back. Because
I was going to say, I want to see the video of that.
It's awesome. I mean, you're building 40 years legacy in 9 months, basically. And it's been so incredible to work with Etal Design on that.
And so how long, I'm rewinding slightly here, but back to when Stephen Wynn got the rights, was it straight away that his vision was to not just build classic DMC-12s, but also to bring a new car along? At what point did he start taking that seriously and getting the funding and getting everything together?
I think I cannot speak for Stephen Wynn. Stephen Wynn is Stephen Wynn, but he always had the feeling in my mind that there was more to get. And there was a big OEM a few years ago that came to him and said, we want to use your brand to spice up our brand. And that never went anywhere because the vision was not to recreate a DeLorean, but the vision was really to help another brand become more famous or more liked and things like that. I think it was a couple of years ago when new legislation came out where you can do retro cars that we really started talking with Steven about electrifying the DMC-12. Now, that legislation never came to be. And then we came back to Steven and said, but your brand is so vibrant. We need to look at this much bigger and bring something out as a full-line OEM. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, all right. So then we arrive at the Alpha 5. So it's a four-seater, fully electric car, of course, big battery.
2+2.
2+2.
It's a 2+2. It's not a four-seater.
Okay. So interesting that, because I was going to say, why the extra seats? Why the plus two?
When you go to battery electric vehicles, your wheelbase becomes really, really long if you want to package a serious amount of batteries. And we knew we needed to package a serious amount of batteries. So your wheelbase is like 2.90 meters. Mm-hmm. And it made no sense to just make a coupe. I mean, you can do a sedan. Sedan is boring. It's the fastest shrinking segment in the world. So we knew we had to do a coupe, but we had all that space in the back. So we knew our greenhouse was going to be pretty aggressive on the back. And we said, let's make this in a 2+2 because our demographics are older, more affluent people. They want to have the grandkids in the back. The grandkids fit perfectly. I'm 6'4". There's no way I can fit in the back.
I'm a bit smaller. Maybe I'll have a go later. I think I'll probably be able to squeeze it. But So, correct me if I'm wrong. These are numbers that I picked up, but 100 kilowatt hour plus battery, 300 mile range?
EPA, yes.
EPA. Okay, so did you start with that range? Because once you've gone, we want this car to go 300 miles, then you work backwards, how big does the battery need to be, the wheelbase?
We started with three main numbers. More than 300 miles range, because in the psyche, especially in the US, anything less, you get range anxiety. And you start to get the discussion of what are you, a glorified golf cart or an electric car? So it had to be 300 miles plus, top speed, maximum 155, because beyond that, I need custom tires. I don't have time for that. So I needed to be able to go to Michelin or Pirelli or anybody and said, I need tires.
Yeah, and the owner can then buy tires off the shelf rather than
go custom, like the BMW i3. Or, sure. Yeah, that was difficult for owners. And then the third one was really about 0 to 60. So we said, do we want a hypercar or do we want to have a car that people can enjoy? We said, no hypercar, so just under 3 seconds, 0 to 60. And for the vast majority of people, it's more than enough to get sick.
Have you spoke about power figure yet for the car?
No.
No?
No.
Not yet. I thought, have I missed that or have you not mentioned it yet? But you have talked about a 0 to 60 time, as you said. And
just under 3 seconds.
Just under 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And a 0 to 88 time, of course.
A little over 4. We had to do that. we had to do that. There was no choice there.
Yeah. I thought I read somewhere that the top speed was 188 miles an hour.
No, it's 155.
I think maybe that was a little bit of Top Gear speculation.
That's maybe.
Yeah. So 155 top speed and 4 seconds. So how much do you want to play on that Back to the Future link? It is such a powerful. I mean, I'd probably put, you know, Aston Martin and James Bond.
Yes.
And the DeLorean and Back to the Future as the two most powerful partnerships in movie kind of history, automotive movie history.
On one hand, we love it because it really brings the brand to a lot of people's minds. On the other hand, you hate it because you get pointed in a box and you can't get out. So we're now in 4 movies. None of them are Back to the Future. And the car is going to a movie set next week already. It is, we will position the car in the luxury space, we'll position the car in a very limited production space. I think 88 will be a number that will be forever ingrained in the car. You cannot get away from it, but we're not going to pump it. It is there in its history, and it is its right place in history.
Yeah, cool. So, of course, it has the gullwing doors.
Yes, that had to be.
Had to have the gullwing doors. But there's no option for a stainless steel body. Now, when we first saw the pictures, we were like, I think it was the first question we asked Troy, who sent us over the stuff. So talk to me about that. It must have been on the wish list at some point.
It was the number one wish list after the door, so it was number two.
Okay.
Number three was the rear louvers. Mm-hmm. There are stories about that. But on the stainless steel weight, it weighs a lot of, and any kilo I can take out, I have to carry less batteries. Yeah. So ultimately that became it. The other thing is stainless steel, you need what they call hard tooling. So the investment in bringing it to production, if you have a large production volume, it's okay. But in our volume, it's not.
That may be something that a certain Elon Musk is grappling with at the moment with the Cybertruck, of course.
Yeah, but those volumes are substantial. So they have the room to pay for tooling.
Okay, so let's talk about cost, production dates, delivery schedule. let's talk numbers. What can you tell me? What can you tell me?
Well, the car is a drivable production intent prototype. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not a tube chassis with a cool body on it. So in that sense, we're a little bit more mature than what people realize. But it'll still take 2 to 3 years before we're on the road globally. It's just the lead time. Deliveries. North America first, Europe second, Middle East third, but we will be pre-sold well before that. Normally next month.
And 88 cars.
No, 9,351. One more than old DeLorean.
Oh, right. Okay.
88 cars will be a pre-series.
Yeah.
And they'll be very, very special.
Okay. A kind of launch series.
A launch series.
Okay. Fantastic. And what's next? What's the sort of grand vision? Obviously, you know, you need a car in production first, but do you see a whole range of cars?
Yeah. It is what we did with the by making our generational cars, a coupe, a sedan, and an SUV. It allows the brand now to come out with another type of car. We're no longer stuck to a coupe. So the next car you'll see from us is a derivative of the Alpha 5. We're launching that tomorrow. Okay. I'll give you a sneak peek in the garage. It's
excellent.
Downstairs. No pictures. The other one that we're going to launch tomorrow is an Extreme Vision of 2040. So that's also downstairs. We'll launch that tomorrow. But the next car you'll see from us is an SUV. Okay. To make a company work, you need to be in SUVs. But I can do an SUV before I do the coupe. So it's chicken and egg. First our halo car, then we can move.
Well, I think, there are lots and lots of companies that are now moving towards an SUV. You know, Ferrari, I mean, Bentley, Rolls-Royce have done it a while ago. Porsche did it a while ago. But very sensible. If you're starting from scratch, get the SUV in nice and early because that's what people want to buy.
Right? Absolutely. Right. I mean, coupes will be always at a certain range and they will always be there. Coupes, convertibles, I classify as one. Sedans are going away, whether we like it or not. Yeah. And I like big sedans, but it's just not happening in the world.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, if you put a hoverboard and a flux capacitor on the options list for the Alpha 5, you're going to sell as many as you can make because there's a lot of nostalgia out there and it goes a long way, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. And I can't wait for Universal Studios to give us a call and say, we need to do number 4. But that hasn't happened yet.
Well, you know, after this, maybe. Now, just to finish, I had a few quick fire questions for you. So I've been interviewing a few people today at Quail and I always find it's useful to get to know you a little bit better. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to give you 3 questions here. So the first one is, you can only drive one car for the rest of your life. What's that car going to be?
Oh, that's a good question.
I should probably caveat that with, and it can't be the Alpha 5.
No, I get that.
Because that's too easy.
I'll go back in time. DB6, 64. That is one of the age-old cars. Plus, I can fix it with a hammer.
Exactly. I was talking to someone about Richard Tuthill, who's built a very, very, very lightweight 911, all made out of carbon fiber. And he said, I don't really like carbon fiber because you have to get it absolutely perfect. And you can't just smack it with a hammer to get things to line up.
Yeah.
So there we go. DB6. Okay. When was the last time you unintentionally damaged a car?
That was not that long ago, actually. That was my wife's car when I was doing shopping, and I failed to see a little pole of that kind of enjoyed my rear fender.
Yeah. Oh, it's a horrible feeling.
I know. And I had to explain that to my wife, and it's her pride and joy.
But I did get the shopping.
I got to the groceries.
And what's your guilty secret? Is there a car out there that you love, but you probably shouldn't?
GTC 4 Lusso. Wow. It is. I love the mechanical V12. I love the 4x4. I think it completely failed in the US. It's really great in Europe. It is a feeling that when you drive those cars, and I used to have an FF, it is that secret V12 that I really crave.
And you take the GTC 4 Lusso over the FF, so that the updated version.
Yeah, the updated version. The update, because I can tune it a lot further and I can get a lot more power out of it.
Okay, fantastic stuff. All right, well, I'm absolutely dying to get downstairs and have a look at the Alpha 5, but Joost, thank you so much for the chat and thank you for joining me.
Thank you.